listening to First Church Charlotte.
Friends with the one who created the 13 billion light years of stars beyond our sun, our star. But we're really followers of the bright morning star. So, but it was interesting. I'm going to give you a shotgun Bible study tonight. How's the volume out there? Okay, I need it a little louder than normal because I'm a little weak in voice, but not that weak. And we'll cover about four subjects, and I've limited myself to time on them, so you are all fast learners. Can I get a witness? Yes. You're brilliant. Yes. Your mind can grab hold of complex things and say, that's mine. Yes. Where's everybody else? You don't think that about yourself? How about a good affirmation? You got a brilliant mind. God gave it to you. And where would we want to put it to best use? Other than here. Amen? I mean, if you go to high school, and we all went to high school, if you go to college, they expect you to grab on. They don't treat you like high schoolers anymore. If you don't show up, some of them don't even care. It's your test you're going to fail. And so we want to be most focused when we're in the house of God to hear from Him. And to learn. Let's pray. Lord, you know how much we need you. These people know how much they need you. And Lord, we thank you for walking close to us, checking on us, guiding our steps. Let us hear what your Spirit is saying to the church tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My first subject is understanding the joy and effectiveness of praying through on a matter. The old timers use that term praying through as a common expression, and I'll explain to you what it means. If someone's going through a hard trial, the question would be, have you prayed through on that? Or is it keeping you up nights still? Once you pray through to the point where you get faith from God, faith from His Word, then you can leave it on the altar. Maybe for a few days before all of a sudden it comes back overwhelming you. Then you go back through this process we'll go through here in a moment, and you put it back on the altar again. And you have peace for a time until it comes back. So the principle, the process of praying through on a matter to the point where you can trust God with it. It's so effective and it's powerful and it fills you with joy in the midst of the storm, because we all get to go through storms. I like to be kind of inside when I'm in a storm, but I do like to be right out there almost in it, as close as I can get to it. That thunder excites me, and I don't want to attempt it though. So to pray through, you find a place of prayer. Something's troubling you, worrying you, causing you grief, taking your sleep away, taking your peace away. You go and find a place of prayer and you cry until you're tired of crying or you don't have any more tears. Then you weep a while. Maybe you don't have any tears, but your body is in weeping convulsions, in essence. You're just weeping, mourning and moaning about it. And then you reach a point where you can intercede for the situation and praise God for intervening. And that alone, when you get to the praise point, you are building your faith. And then if you haven't got that little gleam of light, that the light at the end of the tunnel in your spirit being, your spirit, where you sense that God's got this. God knows about it, and I'm going to trust him. In fact, then as soon as we get to that point, we try to switch all of our burden and all of our crying and weeping to praise. But many times that alone doesn't work, so we got to go back and travail some more and cry some more and intercede some more and then worship some more until you can put your burdens, your anxieties, your worries on the altar wherever you are, the spiritual altar of faith in God, and turn it over to the Lord and turn it loose and get you some rest. Sometimes this will come at 3 a.m. because it woke you up at 2. But you go ahead, since you know you're not sleeping, you go ahead and get up, read the scriptures a little bit, and go to praying until you have peace enough to go back to sleep. Then, when it zooms large again, maybe a week later, you pray through on it again. And Jude 20 comes to mind about this praying through. Can we get it up here? But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, God has given us great power in prayer and the ability to pray exactly the will of God, to pray the best prayer that could be prayed over that situation as you pray in the Holy Ghost. You can get anointed to pray in English or Spanish, whatever your prayer language is there, but your natural, normal, human language. You can get anointed, and I wouldn't say that's not in the Spirit. That is in the Spirit. However, where this is talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, is talking about moving on into that gift of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. And so that's where your greatest prayer will be prayed about whatever is troubling you, because you're going to pray according to the will of God and you're going to pray the most effective prayer. Sometimes we want to solve this problem over here with our ideas. That's why we need to get in the Spirit and pray that God will solve it the way he knows how it needs to be solved. We don't know all the ways there are to skin a squirrel. Excuse the hunter's expression. A lot of ways to skin a squirrel, and I'm not going to go through them. There's a lot of ways to get something done in somebody's life, or to solve a problem at work, or to get you past a rough spot in your marriage, or to whatever. Whatever the frustration is, whatever the burden is, maybe it's that unsaved child. That'll cause parent, mom and dad to pray and fast and do things they could never do otherwise because they're totally motivated. And so that's why we need to pray in the Spirit. On a certain day, excuse me, somewhere along this prayer journey of praying through, faith will come to you. And the scripture will burn in your heart, and you will grab onto the truth of that scripture, and you will be able to leave your burdens on the altar. And every time the worry comes back, thank you, Lord, you got it in control. You know their name. I'm asking you to deal with them every day of their life. Remind them of a good memory back in church. Remind them of a Sunday school teacher that touched their heart. Remind them of an altar service. I believe when we pray, God hears. In fact, if we can get Isaiah 59 and 21 up on the screens, and then walk in faith and worship with all of your hearts. And you, so things that really trouble us, we pray through on them many times, and we get to the point where, bam, faith comes. God's working on this. And we just praise him all the way, sometimes for years, sometimes for days, and God will hear. Here's the promise for your children. promises of God to Israel. They have a present promise to that people they were written to. But they have a spiritual truth to we who are also children of Abraham by faith. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Who? His covenant people. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. That's your sons and daughters. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seeds. That's your grandkids. Saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And I feel like shouting about it a little bit. That'll take you through some hard times. If you just believe, simply believe with all of your heart what God said. And keep on praising the Lord. That's number one. And I went twice the time I allotted, so... Isn't that normal? Let me not try to explain everything that's going on up here. There's a free app. The next one is what to say when you talk to yourself. I'm going to do quick on this, cut it down to half. There's a free app you can get on your cell phones or computer. It's called Fighter Verses. It's scriptures that have been pulled out of the Word of God that will help you fight and keep the victory in your life. Keep faith flowing in your life. So if you want to grab that on the internet while I'm speaking, do it. Just don't make a big deal about it. Fighter Verses. That's your app. Free. What to say when you talk to yourself. If you're dealing with disappointments, you're kind of down about them, just say, Lord, I know you're going to help me day by day. Just express faith. Talk to yourself. If you're mad as fire, number one, shut up. Shut up. Guard your words carefully. Breathe deeply so your words are controlled. You wish you could throw a fit or you're in the middle of doing it. Shut up. Take a breath, a deep breath. If sorrow hits, like Job, you can pray a prayer. Lord, I had nothing when I was born. I came nothing in with nothing into this world. I'm going out with nothing. You gave, you've taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did this without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was with him. Because he kept, and in all of this, the next verse says in chapter 1, Job did not charge God foolishly or sin. There he was without the power of the Holy Ghost, but they had the touch of God on their life. He did too. But we are endued with the divine nature of the Almighty. And so help us, Lord. If sorrow hits, if you're mad at yourself, don't add any more mess to the problem by saying a bunch of stupid stuff. When my brother used to miss a putt, he was different natured than me. I tried to change him, but I finally realized that this is Royce. This is my brother that's gone on to his reward. He'd say about himself, fat head. Stupid! I say, Royce, don't cut yourself down like that. But he needed to express something. He didn't cuss, but he had some juicy words to jog his memory so he would focus better the next time. But I'm against us, you know, cutting ourselves, chopping ourselves down. There's no need to rail on us. We need to kind of feel like God made a pretty good person when he made us. you'll love others as you love yourself. People that despise themselves, they despise others real quick too. And so, if you missed a basketball shot, is that a big deal in anybody's world? It can seem like a whole lot if you're in the heat of competition, but just remind yourself you can do better than that and keep on playing. Just got fired. Lead my steps, O Lord. Don't burn the bridge with a man who fired you. He might get a call next week wanting a recommendation. Just because you feel like, well, this is my chance to tell him off and give him a piece of my mind. Don't be giving away pieces of your mind. You need it all. If you get cut off in traffic, say, amazing. They must really be in a hurry to get somewhere. They must really love their job. If you're found filled with anxiety or despair, learn how, through studying the scriptures, to do what David did in 1 Samuel 30 when they came back to Ziklag and their tents were burned to the ground. All their wives and children were gone. Everything was taken. His men wept until they had no more tears. He wept till he had no more tears. And the men started grumbling. If David wouldn't have had us over there fiddling with the Philistines, this would have never happened. They begin to question David's leadership. Well, David heard him. He was no dummy. He went off somewhere and encouraged himself in the Lord. He just so happened that he had a man of God in his life that was with him. Said, what is, shall we, he asked, shall we pursue them or shall we not? The man of God checked with the Lord and the word came back, pursue. And they recovered all and a whole lot more. But we've all got to learn to encourage ourselves when we're down, feeling kind of bad about ourselves. Okay, that's subject number two. Let's talk about the false doctrine against works that is out in our world today. There are some Bible teachers that love to talk about salvation by faith alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. All you need to know to get kind of squared away on this, if you've got a concordance, study the word works in the New Testament. All you got to do. But people ignore those scriptures that are all through, from Jesus to Paul to Peter to John, Jude, whoever else wrote. And they all, James, are teaching you that faith without works is, they figure out, some of them have a real problem with James, but he's the half-brother of Jesus, remember. He knows what Jesus taught. He understood. And so it's just important. And I'm not going to go through all the scriptures I have here, but this first one comes from the voice of Jesus Christ himself. The first church he wrote to in Revelation chapter 2. Why don't you get that, Brother Aaron? Revelation 2, verse 4. And then we'll go down a few verses. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. This is the first church to the church, seven churches in Asia. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Okay, next verse. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. I thought works had nothing to do with my salvation. Well, not according to Jesus Christ. Or else, I will come quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou, what is one of the first works he wants them to do? Except thou, repent does happen to take a little bit of brain power, a little heart power, maybe some tear power, Because to repent, the Bible teaches clearly, is to confess and forsake our sins. A lot of people have it in their mind, confess only. I worked with a lot of guys that were strong into their church. They would go to confession on during the week, maybe like Thursday, to confess what they did last weekend while they were planning to do it again the next weekend. It bet on them dogs down in Tijuana. They'd tell me about those dog races. They send a rabbit out in front of those dogs. I think it's a mechanical rabbit. And he keeps them just ahead of the dogs, the greyhound dogs. And they never catch the rabbit. If they got their teeth into it, it wouldn't taste very good. But it makes them run. And so they weren't repenting. They were confessing. Confession is a very important part of repenting. But then comes that determination in our heart to stop going down that road of sin. And so Jesus himself taught it. He told the story of the person that built his house on the sand, the one that built their house on the rock. And the winds and the rain came, and the house that was built on the rock stood. The house that was built on the sand got washed away. And then he says, and those that hear my words and do them are building their house on the rock. And those that do not hear me are building on sand. So there's the do factor, D-O, in all of our lives. That shouldn't make us fearful. We're all in church tonight. This is one of the things we do to subject ourselves to the Word of God, to fellowship, to worship, to prayer for the needs of the congregation. And that's one work we do. But these other folks that love to totally ignore, we're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. Plus nothing. They emphasize that so much that then they can go ahead and teach that other false doctrine of devils that says, once you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I accept him as my Savior, there's no way you can ever be lost again. And another word study for people that have struggled with this. Some of you were taught this in your churches you've been in. It's important that we understand. There's just do a word study of if. The Lord challenged us to do a number of things, and then he says, if you will continue to walk in my word, if you will maintain good works, if you will, if there's always the chance, nobody can take you out of the Father's hand, but you or I could walk out of the Father's hand. He never eliminates your power of choice. And yet a lot of people who aren't worried about doing any works think they're saved. And that's a sad deception because the Bible doesn't teach that. Let me run a couple of more. Let's see, we're doing good. 8:20. Let me just throw a few of these at you. I've got all of the work scriptures here. Now, in Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Was she trusting in her good works for her salvation? I don't believe she was. But if she is saved, it challenges all of us to do good deeds. Even the famous Ephesians 2 scripture, for by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Aren't you glad You don't have to climb Mount Everest to say, now I can be saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If it was of works, some of us men would boast about it, what we did to claim salvation, but it's not. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created in Christ Jesus unto works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You go back to the original on should, it says be occupied doing them. Get busy in the work of the Lord. We have small groups, and I'll tell you in a few moments one of the wonderful ways we can all be busy doing good works. Okay, let's move ahead. If any of you want my notes on this, just call my, text my cell number, and I'll get you a copy. 906-2888. You know the prefix, 704. 906-2888. Just text me. I want you to have this because I want you to know the truth. We're not going to teach something across this pulpit that's not backed up by the Word of God. And if we would ever do that, well, some things need to happen. If someone else is preaching it, pastor needs to be in contact with him. Someone else come here preaching some. I just wanted to make sure, Pastor, that Pastor Nathan, that you heard what that man said. I've gotten this close to pulling a preacher's coattail. If he had stayed on that subject another 30 seconds, he'd have been sitting down. I expect people to be smart and aware to listen to the preaching. And he went beyond the scripture. I don't want to embarrass a man. I'll be embarrassed while I'm embarrassing him. That's not what we're all about here. I normally checked out, and I know Brother Nathan checks people out before he brings them. I believe Brother Alicio's preaching this Sunday. You don't want to miss it. One of the greatest preachers on the East Coast or in North America. I'm not prejudiced, not me. Then James comes up, James 2:24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's what troubles these guys. They kind of want to put James out of the scriptures. But he's there, hallelujah. Who are they to start picking and choosing which scripture they want to abide by? Who is any man? Say, well, I like this one, but I don't like that other one. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. How about you? Pick and choose. That's like picking and choosing what law you obey. Those officers, boy, if they see you. Oh, I didn't realize, officer, that I was going 80 in a 70 mile zone. I think you'd have to go 85 nowadays. But he says, well, you know, there's 70 mile zones all the way around. It's 485. But Ossifer, they were pushing me. I had to get up to 85 to get out of their way. Well, just move over. You don't have to go up to that high rate of speed. I'm just telling you, we can't pick and choose. Thank God sometimes we get by in that yellow light. Boy, you don't look again after you're about 50 yards from the line. I got your number because it's my number too. Okay, how are we doing? Well, amazing. I'm shocking myself. Okay, let's talk about advancing the kingdom of God. I just want to talk about five processes on how all of us contribute to people coming to the Lord. And nobody has to be left out. You will have to try to be left out, to be left out. You will have to come late, leave early, not fellowship, to not have anything to do with this ministry of this local church. Number one, we love them. I'm talking about people that are hungry for God. If they're not hungry for God, they're not in church. If they're ever in church, they're here because something's drawing them to the presence of the Lord. Or they really like being with people that love God. Then we win them. In fact, we direct their Bible study in such a manner that they win themselves. Because the scripture doesn't need, it just needs a proper understanding. But it does. It will convince them itself. We got to quit talking and say, well, why don't you read these scriptures? And let the scripture do its work. And then we enthuse them. This is where the gospel message takes place. And then we disciple them. And then we train them to love them and win them and make sure they get entheos, the root of the word enthusiasm, that they get filled with God. Entheos, enthusiasm. Because people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, they get excited about it. Unless they've lost their first love. Then they need to go down for another Holy Ghost baptism. Okay, let me hurry along here. This is our last subject. By loving them, we love them enough to take some time with them. Excuse me, when Brother Paul Dupuy came, I'm having some trouble with my lungs right now, so please forgive my strange sounds, but I'm fine. In fact, I'm so well, I am healed in Jesus' name. And I brought him, I said, Paul, I'd been praying with him for weeks out on the street right in front of our house. I'd go over and check on him. He had a massive stroke a few years ago. It made him where he can't hold a job down. He can't breathe without inhalers. They've given him pretty poor future. But he came in Sunday morning and he started worship and he said, wow. He told me while we were greeting guests, I feel like a brand new man. I can breathe deep. I've been praising the Lord. Hallelujah. But he'd tell me about a situation. His wife left him a few months ago with his two boys. And she kept them on weekends. They've tried to work a little bit together. But there doesn't seem to be much, you know, motivation. Don't want to go any deeper. That's too deep anyway. But anyway, just so happened that Brother Jeff Epinette, somehow in his work, knew Paul. He's the IT guy. And Brother David Martin somehow had run across him. They knew some people that in the same area. And so I had two men working with me right then. Now, I sat by him somewhere around here for about a month on Sunday. He only comes on Sunday now. But that's getting ready to change. And why? Well, you know why. People feel odd in a strange place, especially if they know nobody. And that's why when we invite people and we bring them, we all need to make sure they're sitting with us or sitting with someone they know for a while. Finally, I said, Paul, I'll be with you. And then at a certain point, he said, Brother Elms, you need to go over there. Go. They might need you to take prayer requests or something. I said, well, are you sure? Are you comfortable? He said, I'm fine. But now other men in the church. No, why is that important? That's where we all come into the process of loving them. Love them enough to care about their aches and pains. Not their individual little aches and pains. I'm talking about their heart aches and pains. Be spiritually aware of their inner hunger for God. Respect them for their faith and their courage. Trust the gifts of the Spirit to guide you with a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a discerning of spirits, and then those power gifts of faith and miracles. You never know. God's blessings are on the cutting edge of evangelism. Because God's in on this soul winning business. Respect them for whatever faith they have. If they're a Muslim, respect them for their devotion to the religion. Many Muslims are praying to Jesus, and guess what? He's answering their prayers. There's a great revival going. It's put down because it's not politically correct, you know. And if they're a good Southern Baptist, you know, we make a mistake when we call people new converts. I love Southern Baptists. I love the preachers for a number of years, this church. Every month, we send out 200 Pentecostal heralds to 220 or something Southern Baptist preachers in Charlotte. And then the next month, the next 250 or so. And the next month, so there are about 750 Southern Baptist preachers in this area. And they might have been other Baptist churches too. But we kept that going for about 3 years. And that seed is out there. God knows how to resurrect it at the right time. But we need to love them. Pastor of one of the largest church, Southern Baptist churches in Charlotte, is my neighbor. When they're walking along the street and I'm out in the yard working, praise the Lord, my brother. That may offend somebody for me to call him a brother. He's been loving Jesus Christ all of his life, sir, ma'am. Some people think because they don't have the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, they have nothing. Don't fool yourself. Some of them are so devoted. We have a neighbor every morning at about 7 o'clock. She heads down the road to see a priest to confess her sins. Is that not devotion? I'm not going to go tell her it's right, it's wonderful, it's great. I'm going to tell them I respect you. I've noticed. Because I do. And you do too. Once you think about it a little bit. If we treat them like they're new converts, some of them, like I said, they've served the Lord for many years. I see I'm having to really slow down here. 8:33. Hang on. Okay, let me move quickly. Then we win them. Trust and know that the Lord is working with you. Nurture their faith in God and His written word. Teach them that what they are curious about. Teach them the subjects they are curious about in the scriptures. Don't force them into your Bible study. What are they interested in? If you go fishing, you don't say, fish, you're going to eat this little salmon egg today or you're going to miss out on the fun. They may not like salmon eggs today. So what do fishermen do? Some fishermen, it's top secret what they're using, but others will share with you. Worms. They love worms, wiggling worms. Next time you go out there, since you didn't catch anything last time, guess what you got with you? Big, fat, juicy worms. If they're curious about something, let them guide your study. You'll get around to what you would like to teach them in time. Persuade them that God loves them and wants to help. Let them discover the truth of Scripture by letting them read the scriptures. Then enthuse them. Once you've won them to Jesus, to the scriptures, guide them to walk after and seek after the new birth of water and spirit. Faith in Jesus, repentance of sins. I taught Roland Johnson search for truth one time through. He didn't get it. Taught him the second time through. He didn't get it, but he had a praying grandma and mama. He had stacks of prayers up with his name on it. Started the third time through, and in the middle of it, he got a brain aneurysm. Next time he had a chance to get to the altar, I believe it was the first night he repented, second night he got was baptized, the third night he got the Holy Ghost. I mean, he'd been repenting for all that Bible study time, he'd been repenting. He used to hide his beer. Brother Nathan and Sister Elms went through our neighborhood inviting people to church. He'd hide his beer behind his chair. He thought somehow, I guess he'd had enough beer that he didn't know what he was doing. He thought she wouldn't see it. Well, she saw it every time. The neighbors would say, "Here comes the preacher lady," right over about a mile from here on Carriage Drive. But we teach them faith and repentance, commitment and baptism, surrender, and the necessity of being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, and then walking in the Spirit, doing those good works that we're saved unto, following Jesus. Then disciple them to take up their cross, and what that means. We're to love God, mind. You know, we all have to go to work. We got to go to school here before long. Your brain cells have had enough rest. Time to put them back to work. Your mom and dad need a little rest. Somebody in that household, while you're heading for school, are going to say, "Hallelujah." Don't be worried about it. They love you with all their heart. They just don't want you to be a dummy when you get old. Seeking first the kingdom of God, that Christ may be formed in us. Some people move fast. Some people move slow. We've got to let them come at their pace and encourage them along the way. Then we train them what to obey the first two commandments, which are love God, love people. All of Calvary's about people. To search the scriptures and apply them to their lifestyle, that they may turn many to righteousness. And they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars in the firmament. Seeking and saving the lost, which is Christ's ministry, by destroying the works of the devil that are in people's lives that are living in sin and iniquity. When they come and are saved, those works are, the past ones are forgiven, the future ones are not there. And so we, first of all, love them, win them, enthuse them with the gospel plan, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we disciple them, and then we train them. Let's stand. Do you remember who took some time for you? Who took some time for you, Brother David?
Jim Thomas.
Pastoring down in South Carolina now. Who else remembers who took some time for you? How about a testimony, Brother Larry? Who else? Sister Lois? Awesome. Nadine Hopkins. Gone on to be with the Lord long time ago. But she took time. She She cared enough to love people and to respect people. Now, some of you may, this may have been kind of strong meat. I don't want to offend anybody. If you hear and it was strong meat, get my notes if you want them. 906-2888. First of all, 704, you know that. I know there's a bunch of more coming in to play. But, and the people that you know that are part of this church, just ask them. If they don't know the answer, they'll search it out. And we want to go to heaven. So a lot of people out in this world, they're not playing games with their salvation. It just hasn't been presented as from the Word of God. And they've got different ideas out there. And we're not even going to go to war with those different ideas with the people that promote them. We're just going to teach the truth in love and pray that people will open their hearts. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I know you do too. In fact, we are. By being here, everyone that's here, we have our place in the kingdom. And we can grow it, make it stronger. And thank God for all of you that are able to get here early for prayer. Pastor Nathan has been challenging us to get here early for both services on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. It's a joy, and that's again part of the kingdom of God. It's trying to develop the atmosphere of praise and worship and faith. And our prayer life will help determine that. I love you all. It was my pleasure to pastor this church for 33 years and to remain in the kingdom and in this local church ministry for now 42 years. That's a good chunk of a man's life, you know. What were you doing before that? You don't really want to know. 2 years I evangelized traveling the United States, wrote a book on fast-growing Pentecostal churches, went to each church and tried to analyze them, talked to everybody I could. Before that, I worked 10 years at North Island Naval Air Station for the Navy. I got my first military discount about 2 weeks ago. I said, what discount are you offering? AARP, AAA? And I said, I worked for the neighbor for 10 years. He says, that's got it. I said, thank you, sir. Then before that, I was in a great church in San Diego, California. David F. Gray was my pastor for the first 30 years. Married Sister Elms in 1962. And the Lord blessed us with 3 children. And I'm a blessed man to be a part of you. Let's praise God for his goodness. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I glorify your holy name. Praise God. Block party Saturday. Let some people know you're glad to be a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ with them.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come join us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road at the corner of Shamrock Drive. Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Bible study Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Online, find us at firstchurchclt.com or like us on Facebook or Twitter. We hope to see you soon. Come worship with us.